Commence our service with hymn number 142. Hymn number 142. Alas, and did my Savior's 142, in the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story. Let's stand as we worship together. It's in the cross I glory. Let's start that one again, verse 1. Oh, right. We're changing the two. The tune is actually number 80, Stuttgart. So don't be looking at the notes. Just look at the words here in number 142. This also is a great hymn, and one that, I don't know, somehow or other I wanted to sing earlier, so let's do that together as others gather in here. 141, alas and did my Savior bleed. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Before we go to our congregational prayer, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And read a few verses, starting verse. Let's just turn to the word of the Lord for a few moments as we still our hearts in God's presence. Today, we have this great statement in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's why we're here to worship today. Once we had no interest in worship, but today the Lord has put within our hearts a desire to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus, to know him, and to grow in his grace. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, now, you don't normally speak that way, but it simply means with the purpose, in the sense that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Great statements, great truths. The key word in that passage is reconciled. A Christian is someone who is reconciled to God. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. The blood of Jesus speaks and covers all our sins and speaks peace between me and you and God. That's a Christian. And that's the gospel, that's the good news that Jesus saves. This is Reformation Sunday, close to this date, October 13th. Martin Luther nailed a protest to a church door that changed Germany, which changed Europe, and which has taken the gospel around the world. It was referred to as the monk who shook the world, because he dared to protest the foolish indulgences or pardons for seal and to preach the gospel. And today we pray for help that we might preach the gospel in its power and fullness. Will you unite in prayer with me, and we'll seek the Lord together and pray for the Lord's help this morning as we wait on the Lord. Father in heaven, we come to thee in the name of our Lord Jesus this morning with thankfulness for this gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that reconciles sinners to the Lord God, who is holy, 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 Lord God of glory. We come to worship thee today because at Calvary, our Lord Jesus reconciled heaven with earth, God with sinners. And by that speaking blood, we have this peace with God. We thank thee that we are the children of the Protestant Reformation, which means that we are children of the gospel, who delight in the Bible as the only revelation of God, who delight in Christ as the only Savior sent by God,
who delight in salvation by the cross, the only instrument by which God redeems men. And, O Lord, we pray today that thou wilt strengthen our faith, revive our hearts, and lead us into the paths of blessing, gospel blessing, Calvary blessing, that we will be a rejoicing people. And, oh, as we have sung in this hymn today, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? And praise God, the answer is yes. God sent his Son. Father, we thank thee for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for all that he has done for us and all that he is to us today, because Christianity is Christ and salvation is Christ. Peace with God is in Christ. And we pray today that we will get our eyes upon him. Bless every soul that is gathered with us. Thank you for the desire that you've put within our hearts. We praise thee for the new birth experience whereby all things pass away and all things become new. We pray thee to comfort the saints. We pray thee to comfort those who cannot be with us. Some may be joining us by webcast. May the Spirit of the Lord minister to their hearts this morning. May your blessing be upon them today. We pray, O Lord, that you will remember our brother Mock and Carol as they this week depart for London, England. We pray, O Lord, that you will go with them, bless them, and guide them in the days to come, that they may know the Lord's path and the Lord's direction for their ministry. We pray, O Lord, that you will breathe upon thy church in these days and raise up preachers sent from God and give us days of revival in thy church, even in this land of Canada. O Lord, send us times of refreshing from your holy presence. Drive back the forces of evil, defeat the devil, give us the victory, and may the name of our Lord Jesus be magnified. Amen. Amen. Another hymn. We're turning, please, to number 505. 505. We're not singing that one. What number is it, dear? Right. 588, they're changing this one to Luther's hymn. Luther's hymn, 588. Forgive my unpreparedness here in these hymns. We're going to do our best. 588, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. 588. Let's stand as we sing now. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I'm glad we did get to that hymn eventually. That's a great hymn that we love to sing on this Reformation Sunday. Our Bible reading is Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. So I'd like you to open your Bible or find one close to you in the bench, and let's read together the Word of God. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us, for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading of his word to your heart this very Lord's Day morning. It's great to see you here in the Lord's house, and some maybe for the first time. We welcome you as well, and may the Lord in grace minister to your heart and soul and bless you richly. And as I have mentioned, this is Reformation Sunday, and we want to just pay tribute to the goodness and the grace of God of turning the light of the gospel into the hearts of men and shining that light around the world. We have to rejoice in God working to bring the glorious message of the gospel to the nations of the world. And now the torch has been passed on to us, and we have our work to do, and we are called to be as bold and courageous and as faithful as those of our forefathers, that we may not let this light burn dimly. And it is our desire that we might preach this gospel to the ends of the earth, not only here in this community, but through our missionaries and those who are faithful to this gospel around the world. And so we pray the Lord will indeed do so and use us in his service. Do want to remind you of the meetings that are coming up. Of course, we have our evening service, and we are still on our family series on the making of a Christian home. And I trust that you'll join with us for our 6 p.m. service. And at the end, we will have refreshments this evening after the service. Wednesday evening, 7:30, is our prayer meeting. And we look forward to you coming, joining with us for prayer as we pray for one another and lift up the needs of our own congregation and our denomination and for the whole cause of Christ. Please come on Wednesdays at 7:30. Next Sunday is our communion service Sunday morning. And so, men, we invite you to come and pray with us on Saturday evening at 7:30 as we prepare for the communion. And we ask all to prepare your heart for coming to the communion service. That's our main service at 10:30 next Sunday morning. As I have prayed this week, our brother and sister Mock and Carol, who are members of this church, are leaving for London, England. Our brother Mark and his wife have been helping in our Victoria Church for about a year now, and they have been a tremendous encouragement and help to the people, and they're going to miss them greatly. And so we need to pray both for Mark and Carol as they have their final Sunday today, and for the congregation there, that the Lord will provide and undertake for them as well. I had the opportunity to visit with Dr. Allison this week. I had a short visit on Wednesday evening, and then a longer visit on Thursday afternoon. And it was sobering and yet reassuring to visit with our brother. As you know, he has been afflicted with brain cancer, and he's undergoing treatments at the present time. And we're just thankful to find him at peace and trusting in the Lord. Dr. Allison's great topic has always been justification by faith alone. And of course, now in this hour, that doctrine will not fail him, and Christ will not fail him. And we continue to pray that the Lord will draw near and be gracious to minister to him at this time. One advance notice, and that is in 2 weeks' time, we hope to have the ministry of the Reverend Armand Tomassian, who is our minister in Calgary, but he's also the minister-elect for our church in Greenville, South Carolina. And when the door opens and the immigration approves, he will be taking his leave of the Calgary congregation and taking up his ministry in Greenville. And so we've asked him to come and preach a Sunday before he leaves this part of the world. And so on November 11th, he will be preaching at all the services here on that day. So I trust you will look forward and pray for our brother with all the changes that are coming up in his life and in his family's life as well. Now, Wednesday coming is the Halloween for a lot of people. If you want, you can come to church and join us in our prayer time. Come as a family. That would be a delight to have you along on Wednesday evening as a family. I know some people don't like to turn the lights out on that evening, but maybe you can trick everybody. Play this trick. Keep the lights on and just come to church. And we'd be delighted to see you as we gather together on Wednesday evening. All right, we're turning to our offering hymn now, to 347. 347. And I'm 99% sure I've got the right hymn, but I better check with my wife that I do. Yes, 347. Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. 347. Let's keep our seats as the offering is received. Is going to lead us in prayer, and we'll give thanks for these offerings.
Our heavenly God and Father, we come unto thee this morning and we give thee thanks and praise. We thank thee for thy goodness, thy faithfulness to us, and we ask that you would take our tithes and our offerings, that you would bless them and use them for the spread of the gospel. We ask that your gospel message would be heard across this land through the radio, and through our voices, that it would do its work and that you would receive the honor and the glory. Help now as we open your word. We ask that you would speak to our hearts. Bless our pastor. Give him the words to speak. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would do its work in our hearts, through our pastor's voice, and also in the hearts of the congregation. We ask you'd bless each and every one, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brethren. We're going to stand for verses 4 and 5. 4 and 5. No other work save thine. Unite in prayer a moment. Father, we thank thee today for the liberty of the gospel that has come to us. We thank thee for the faithful men and women who stood for Christ, who preached the cross, and told the good news to a perishing world that Jesus saves. We thank thee that we have this good news to preach today. We ask that thou wilt write thy word on our hearts and bless every soul today with faith and with salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Give liberty in preaching, O Lord. I need your help. I pray your blessing in our Savior's great name. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 is our text today. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Anything on the doctrine of justification by faith is Reformation doctrine. That's the doctrine that was the standing or falling of the church. The lack of that doctrine, or opposition to that doctrine, was the apostasy of the medieval Roman Catholic Church in the days of the Reformers. Those who came to know that we are justified, or reconciled, made right with God, by faith alone, were liberated from the bondage of monasteries, nunneries, religious ceremonies, and all the works religion that is so endemic in various forms of false religion. Now, the birth of Protestantism has many threads to it. And when you read the history of it, you'll find that some of it was political. There were those on various thrones and various countries in Europe that were friendly to the Reformation, supported it, especially in the land of Germany. There were those who had freedoms granted to preach the gospel. Others were put to death, They were burned. They were hunted, banished. And, of course, the fires of persecution in France in particular, where hundreds and thousands of people were martyred for the cause of the Lord Jesus. But the great thread of preaching is the reality of the ministry of the gospel. The Protestant Reformation was not won by the sword. It was won by the preaching of the book, the Word of God. You've probably heard of the five solas, and one of them is the Bible alone. There is no other source of authority. Doesn't matter what the church says. Doesn't matter what priests and bishops and the popes said. It's what the Bible says becomes the conviction of those who stood for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the genius, the blessedness of this gospel is that it brought peace to the hearts of men. And that's the wonder of the gospel, to be reconciled to God, to be able to say, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior, that I have God's favor. Now, peace is something that's very difficult to find in this world. And it's a great tragedy in this 21st century that we have nation upon nation that are unsettled, with millions of refugees fleeing violence and horrible warfares. This is a world that seldom finds peace. And even those countries that do know peace, there are people who waken up in the morning and they have suicidal thoughts. They're troubled, terrorized, and they have no peace with God. The Bible says that the wicked are like the raging sea. And I know a spot in my home country in Northern Ireland. It's on a little town called Port Stewart, where the rocks go right out to the sea, and that ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, batters those rocks constantly, night and day. I have gone there from my boyhood, and I have been back, what, a year ago? And as you stand on those rocks, the surge of those waves, the foam that comes up, the spray that wets and blackens the rock, and it's happening constantly. And the Bible says that the wicked is like the raging sea. They have no peace. And so any message of true hope that brings peace to the troubled heart of men and women is certainly the power and the best blessing of God. Of course, in this world, how can you have peace when you are fearful of death, disease, the decaying of the body, and then the guilt of sin? Let me ask you, do you have a quiet conscience today? Or do you have a conscience that troubles? That the law of God cries out to you, guilty, guilty, guilty. Your heart is filled with shame. If you look at Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, you will see how the Apostle Paul, as a surgeon, opened up man's heart and looked right in. And he said, when the Gentiles, now that's the heathen, the ungodly, which have no law, have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. We are made in God's image. We have within our breasts a moral compass. We know what's right and we know what's wrong. When we do wrong, we are filled with guilt and shame. When we do what's right, we sense God's approval. And even those without the Bible have the law written on their hearts. That's why they are like the raging sea with no peace. They are filled with trouble. But as you come to Romans 5, verse 1, you learn of the peace that we as Christians find through faith in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have, and I'm forming my hands here as if I'm laying hold upon something that we have. We possess peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's four things in this text. The pronouncement of peace with God. Therefore, there's the pronouncement. The possibility we have peace with God. The possession of it. And then there is the profession of peace with God. Can you make that profession today that you are living constantly in the sweet assurance that you have gospel peace with God? I want you to have that. I want you, as a result of attending this Sunday morning service, to discover the joy, the blessedness of gospel peace in your heart, in your soul, so that you will not constantly live as the wicked, as the raging sea, but that you will be brought into the blessed assurance of this wonderful salvation. So let's look at the pronouncement here. Therefore, now it has taken four chapters in this book of Romans for the Apostle Paul to make this pronouncement. After what he wrote and stated in those four chapters, he is now pronouncing the fact of peace with God, this justification by faith alone. Now, in those earlier chapters, the apostle had to go through the teaching of God's wrath upon the wicked. Chapter 1, upon the Gentile. Chapter 2, upon the Jew. Chapter 3, upon all. And chapter 4, you have the examples of Abraham and David who found this peace with God. And so in the New Testament, and so today, there is this therefore, this pronouncement that those who have faith in the Lord Jesus will have this peace with God. Now, without this therefore, we have no gospel. Without this therefore, I can't just lay my hands on somebody and say, oh, enjoy peace. Peace does not come as some clerical pronouncement. Peace comes by this enjoyment of faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot make that peace in your own heart. This is where psychology feels. This is where humanism feels. You cannot go through step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, even 6, 7, and say at the end of that, I'm going to have peace. Because this is not man-made peace. This is the blessing of the gospel peace. And it has to be pronounced. Now, the trouble of human hearts is that they are without God. That's where the trouble really lies. And there is a vacuum in your heart. And you were made in God's likeness to enjoy his blessing, his fellowship, his favor. And when sin came in, born in shape and in iniquity and made in the likeness of sinful nature, you are in a vacuum. You have no peace with God. It's like God's a million miles away. But more than that, God is frowning upon you. Because these earlier chapters of Romans talks about the wrath of God that are upon us. Now, men are afraid to die as they are. Death is a terror to the human state. Men are afraid to stand before God's holiness because his wrath hangs over them. That is the therefore of this text. And I want it to be the therefore of your heart. Therefore, because you are living under God's wrath, you have no peace, you have not settled the account. If you died today, you'd be a lost soul without hope. And that terrorizes you. Therefore, this pronouncement is so important. The real issue is that God is angry with sinners every day. You've read of that sermon of Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It's real. You read Romans 1, 2, and 3, and you'll find it's real. Have you ever been in the presence of an angry man? Somebody who just lost it, fuming with rage. His face is red from ear to ear. The tension in his voice is fearful. And of course, there's no telling how he's going to react. And yet that person normally can be very calm and placid, but anger fills him. Then there's the anger of a king. To come into the presence of a king that is filled with rage, it's like the roar of a lion, Proverbs tells us. Then to be in the face or in the hands of an angry God, that is fearful. And that's why in Psalm 212, the psalmist says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way." Now, what are you doing with God's Son? If you have rejected him, despised him, neglected him, God sent his Son to save you, to bring peace into your life, but you reject him, then God is angry with those who reject him. Now that's the pronouncement. Therefore, that you could say in your heart today, because I know Christ as my Savior, I have faith in him, therefore, I have this peace with God. Now, we come to the possibility of peace with God, and that is this little statement, justification by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith. This is what makes peace with God possible. If it was left to your works, if it was left to your church, if it was left to your money giving, if it was left to your generosity, you would fail. You can never climb the mountain of salvation. You are lost hopelessly. But here, this is possible. Peace with God is possible because it means to be declared righteous in the courtroom of God's law. You can't understand this language of Romans 5 unless you understand the courtroom, unless you think of judge and guilty defendant, unless you understand the language of law that pronounces guilt and think of your own guiltiness. You've committed heinous crimes against God. The law demands punishment. The law demands justice. But this justification by faith is the judge stepping out of the judge's bench, taking the sinner's place. And when the Lord Jesus came from heaven, he took our place. All the wrath of God fell on him. All the punishment due to our sins and our guilt were laid on Jesus. And we are declared righteous because of Christ's justifying work in our place. And of course, that's the free grace of God. God has provided this. God has permitted this. God pronounces that we have this way of peace with God. And it's because God spared not his own Son that he can spare us. Have you ever read that in Romans 8:32? Let's look at it here. That God spared not, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God spared not his own Son. Every sin, every pain, every agony, every curse was laid on him. And we, therefore, have this peace through the sufferings of the Lord Jesus in our place as our substitute, as our Savior. I read about an old Scottish elder. When he lay dying, he found great comfort in the gospel. One of his friends drew near to the dying Scottish man, and he said, "Well, Jimmy, how long since is it that ye made your peace with God?" The aged saint said, "Well, Robin, to tell you the truth, I never made my peace with God." Jimmy said, "But what do you mean? How long since you have found God?" And again he said, "Oh, Robin, I never sought and found him." And then the friend said, "Oh, his mind is gone and he will never recognize us again." But the old saint opened his lips and said, "Listen, not I. I never sought him." And then he quoted the hymn, "Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood." That underlines the point that it's possible, not because of your works, not because of your goodness or efforts, but because of this, God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, that we might be spared. Is that your faith? Is that your hope? Peace with God's possible because this is a gospel of reconciliation. Now, I wanted to read those verses in 2 Corinthians 5 earlier for this very reason, the word reconciliation. And who are we reconciling? Are we reconciling men to men, women to women? Parents to children, children to parents? Is this earthly reconciliation between people? No, this is a reconciliation between God and guilty sinners. It's a gospel of reconciliation. Look at Romans 5 and verse 10. "For if when we were enemies," and that's what sin does, sin makes you an enemy of God, "and therefore you come under his wrath. You are like the subject of a king who's angry with you. And if when you were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled." You see, two times in that one verse. And by the way, the word atonement means reconciled. It means two warring parties brought together, made at one, made to be at peace. And this is the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross for you. Christ died on the cross as the Prince of Peace, working peace for you, that your sins would be gone, your guilt would be gone, God's wrath would be turned away, and God's pleasure would now fall upon your heart. Peace with God is possible because There is a perfect righteousness provided by the Lord Jesus. And that means his perfect life. All the obedience, every day that he lived, every law that he kept, every command that he fulfilled, that bundled up goodness of the Lord is given to you. His righteousness placed to your account, so that when God looks upon you, he sees the rightness, the goodness, the obedience of his Son, and God is well pleased. I found an illustration of this in what my dad used to do with sheep in lambing time. And sometimes it would be those sheep that would have more even than two lambs. Some might have three. And of course, it's very difficult for a sheep to raise three lambs. And then there might be a sheep that would lose all of her lambs, and she would be without babies. And so what my dad would do would take one from the sheep that has three, and he would give it to the sheep that has none. But of course, there's a problem. The mother would smell that strange lamb and reject it, push it away. And so the trick of the shepherd is that the sheep that lost her lambs to death, you take the skin off the sheep. You start right at the back of its neck and you run the knife around and you take the skin right off whole, and you put little eyes in the skin of the sheep, and then you put string around it and you tie that skin of the dead lamb, put it right over the body of the extra lamb, and then you put that lamb with a covering of the skin on it into the fold of the pen with the mother sheep you want to adopt it. What does she smell? She smells her own lamb. She receives it gladly. And because it has this covering of her own lamb, she is pleased with it. And there is a beautiful illustration for us of God the Father, that he accepts us for Jesus' sake. And because he died and he gave his life and gives his obedience to us, when we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, God accepts us for his sake. And so we are reconciled. We have now peace and are accepted by God in the very family of heaven. Now we come to the possession of peace with God. Note how it's worded in this text, Romans 5, verse 1. Now I want you to get your message from the Bible here. I don't want you going home and saying, I couldn't understand that preacher. He was talking a whole lot of strange things. No, it's not strange. It's Bible truth. And I want you to get your heart and mind focused on what the Scripture, the Word of God, teaches you. That's what the Reformation was built on. When the Reformers started to preach the Bible, it was not like receiving some sacrament from the priest. It was not like hearing something in Latin that nobody understood. It was the preacher expounding the book and explaining this wonderful doctrine of justification by faith alone. And note how it's worded here, that therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's a wonderful thing. It's a thrilling thing to be able to say that. And it's a blessing that we possess now, right now. We can have this peace with God. Why? Because God is at peace with us. The gospel has pronounced a change in God. What? What are you talking about? God cannot change. But his attitude can change. When you are a guilty sinner laden with sin and God looks upon you, he sees the guilt and God is offended. While you live in rebellion of him and reject his son, God is angry with you. But when he sees his son in you, and your faith in his son, trusting his righteousness, the wrath of God is no longer toward you. But you enjoy his smile, his pleasure, his fatherhood, and you come as his child to pray Abba. And that is the most endearing approach to God, because there is nothing between. There is now blessed, wonderful peace. So God's wrath is turned away because of the propitiatory sacrifice of Christ. And I'm using that word deliberately. I want you to learn it. Propitiate means to turn away wrath. Christ's sacrifice on the cross was a propitiatory offering. It was intended to turn away God's wrath and to bring down God's favor toward sinners. That's why Romans 5:8 says, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth his love toward us. His wrath is turned to pleasure so that we have peace with God. Now that God has a new attitude and you in your heart have a new inner peace, a peace of conscience that speaks peace to your heart. This is like the man who receives a letter in the mail that he is to appear before court for wrongdoing. And you can imagine his face turning pale when he opens that letter and reads the contents. And he thinks of the prospect that he must appear before the judge and give account. And if he knows that he's guilty and he has no defense, it speaks condemnation. He's a troubled man. He's not going to sleep well that night. And he will have many sleepless nights until the hour appointed when he must stand before the judge. But if he receives another letter from the court, and it pronounces that his case has been dismissed, some new evidence has come to light, the case is dismissed, he need not appear before a judge to be sentenced. Boy, he'll sleep well that night. What a relief. And it is that in kind relief that a Christian enjoys. When we come from the pronouncement of God's anger against sin and we receive the news that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have great statements like Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Wonderful news, happy news, peace-bearing news, and it turns our heart to peace. God wants you to have that peace today. It's the peace of the gospel. It's the peace that comes through faith, believing on what Christ did on the cross to turn away God's wrath from you, and you say, that's my hope. I'm going to receive the Lord as my Savior. I put my faith in him. Now I looked on the chapter in Romans 5 and I come to verse 5 and I notice something here. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and that leads to hope. And so there is this transformation in the inner life of the believer on the Lord Jesus because of his faith in the Lord. And he is now enjoying all the divine favor of God, and his conscience is unburdened. This was the gospel that set multitudes free in the days of the Protestant Reformation. You can imagine the poor Roman Catholic medieval worshiper with all the guilt and all the burden of religion that was laid upon him. And no one was ever told that you have peace with God. They were guilt-tripped to give more, do more, pray more, repent more, do penance, climb stairs, go on pilgrimages. But they were never told that they had peace with God. And so when the Protestant Reformers started preaching this gospel, that you are not to be a peacemaker, but you are to be a peace taker. That's all the difference. Take the peace that was won at Calvary. Christ's death is enough. What he suffered is sufficient to turn away God's wrath and bring you into the very enjoyment of the blessing of God. And just as the early preachers in the first century, they went forth preaching peace through the Lord Jesus. As in Acts 10:31 or 36, we have this reference where it says, the word of God, which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Did you know when you came to church today that you would have someone who would preach peace to you? Maybe you thought on the way here, oh boy, what are we going to hear today? What's this going to be? Another guilt trip? Another money plea? Another do more sermon? No, it's be a peace taker. Take the peace that's already made. Lay hold upon the peace Jesus made on the cross for you. Enjoy it. And you glorify the Lord by enjoying the peace made at the cross. And while you grovel in your misery of guilt, while you stand back and say, it couldn't be for me, while you are an unbeliever, you deny the glory, the honor, the praise that ought to be unto the Lord Jesus. That brings me to the profession of peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How does the justified man declare this to the world around him? By profess, I mean tell it out. Well, how do you tell it? It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to profess the name of Jesus. That's it. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, he that confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven. And then there's the flip side of the coin. He refuses to confess him before men, he will not confess before his Father in heaven. So that's it. Are you willing to confess the name of Jesus as your Savior? That's it. To profess all the grace that is in the Lord Jesus, all that he purchased for you at the cross, all that his blood brings to your heart. And you profess that personal relationship with the Lord. Have you ever heard somebody talk about, I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? It seems to the outsider weird, a tad weird, but it's real. Because we have this gospel of reconciliation. We are no longer strangers. We're no longer at odds. We are brought to be at one. And the Christian who professes the Lord as their Savior is reconciled and has this personal relationship. Salvation is Christ. Salvation is not a set of doctrines. Salvation is to know the Lord Jesus. Peace with God comes through His Son. He's the Prince of Peace. He came into this world to purchase peace for sinners, and even the guiltiest of sinners. And there's no sin that you've committed that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. There is no guilt, there is no legal accusation against you that the Lord Jesus cannot wipe out. Because He gives to you all of His perfect righteousness. Peace with God. Do you have it? The Lord wants you to enjoy this. He doesn't want you to be working your way to heaven. You can't do it anyway. He doesn't want you to be a slave to works, but rather a recipient, a taker of the peace that is in the Lord Jesus. Am I looking at someone here today that needs to be saved? Perhaps you've never really called on the Lord Jesus to save you. Maybe you say, I know these things, but I've never actually called on the Lord to save me. How do you get saved? Well, let's turn in our Bibles. Let's look at it here. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's your mouth. Take words. Call on the Lord. You don't have to do it in front of the whole congregation. You do it one-on-one with the Lord. And then, of course, you'll tell others the Lord has saved you. Are you willing today to confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth? It's not hard. It's not strange. Here are promises for you. And the Lord will save you. If I can help you after this service, I gladly will. But let's turn to our closing hymn, 371 today. Our closing hymn, 371. It is well with my soul when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Let's stand to sing, please. Thank thee, O Lord, today that we could sing this hymn because of the many in this gathering who have trusted and do have by faith this peace, this gospel peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Thank you for this glorious message that we could preach. Grant that the world may learn that there is a way to have such fellowship and peace with God. We ask that today that you will save sinners. Lord, bring some soul out of doubt and condemnation. Bring them to the place of victory and peace with thee. We pray for the Holy Spirit to speak on while the voice of man is silent. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your redeemed now and evermore. Amen. Amen.